Welcome to another week of Hacks and Jacks. I'm Brett Ford, your host this week. Scott Chu, unavailable, but we'll be going through his list. We'll be going through the top 150 hitters, talking about risers and fallers. And of course, we'll get to news and notes around the league as well. Hope you all had a wonderful week of June as summer started with the solstice. And it got hot on the East Coast. We're looking at 90 degrees and upwards for at least part of this week. So I know major leaguers are feeling it as well. We'll see if any injuries crop up. Hopefully not. Luckily, we've seen a lot of our bats stay healthy this week. Hopefully, that's a trend that can continue throughout the summer. Let's dive right into the news and notes. Seattle first baseman Luke Raley returned from the injured list, and the Mariners subsequently DFA'd Rowdy Tellez, so Raley will take over everyday duties at first base, it appears. Raley was signed by the Mariners before the 2024 season, and though he hit 22 home runs and 455 plate appearances, he batted only .243. Not exactly what the Seattle squad was looking for after 19 home runs and a .249 average with the Rays the year before. His contact rate, it's around 75, or zone contact rate rather, hovering around 75% for the past couple years. K rate up around 30%. So he's one of those power bats that, you know, home run to fly ball has been up in the 30s because he's, you know, really adopted launch angle stuff. But, you know, he's hit or miss at first base, probably a replacement level guy in 15 team leagues, maybe someone to consider, you know, if you're running NFBC 15 team fab. But other than that, he's a wait and see guy, maybe stream him while he's hot. But that's about it for Luke Raley from the Seattle Mariners. Baltimore Orioles catcher Adley Rutschman goes on the IL. Rutschman was off to a little bit of a slow start this year. He and the Orioles were struggling, but he was finally starting to turn things around in the past couple of weeks. He had risen in Scott's hitter list last week, and of course on the year batting .227 with only 8 home runs and 275 plate appearances, and you know, not something that fantasy managers were hoping for when they selected him with a top 3, top 4 round pick. Now Rutschman, his walk rate looks good. His home run to fly ball is on pace with what it's been in his career. His barrel rate is higher than it's been in the past. It seems like he's just getting unlucky. He's got a .247 BABIP, so stands to improve there. If he can raise that BABIP up to his career mark, which is .290, we should see the batting average rise as well. You know, the zone contact rate is still hovering around 90%. The strikeout rate is still, you know, 16%. So things are looking good as far as the metrics go. He's just not, you know, hitting the ball the way we want him to. And hopefully this oblique strain isn't lingering. I know he's probably going to be out until after the All-Star break, according to Orioles media. So hopefully he comes back strong and can give fantasy managers what they're looking for out of that catcher position that they spent so much draft capital on. Another catcher headed to the IL this week as well, St. Louis Cardinals backstop Ivan Herrera. Herrera batting .320 this year, off to a great start, 87.6 zone contact rate. You know, he's reduced his strikeout percentage down from 20%, even lower, to 18.7%. The home run to fly ball is up at an unsustainable rate. It's 44.4%. We're not going to see that stick around. But 11% barrel rate, he's hitting the ball hard. He's knocked it out of the park 8 times. He's missed some time with injury, but hopefully he's able to recover from what I believe is a hamstring strain. The Cardinals look to say 2 to 6 weeks, so it's a little up in the air as far as how long he's out. But fantasy managers, in my opinion, might be worth a stash, or you could kind of drop him and hope to pick him back up in a month or so, depending on the depth of your league. Also headed to the IL this week, Los Angeles Angels outfielder Jorge Soler and Texas Rangers infielder Jake Berger. Both guys kind of similar in that they're huge power bats that shouldn't be relied upon for anything more than, you know, home runs when they're hot. You know, Soler, maybe if he could get the contact rate and strikeout rate to go, the contact rate to go up and the strikeout rate to go down, we could see, you know, some significant RBIs and runs in that Angels lineup. The Texas Rangers lineup has been hit or miss, mostly miss, unfortunately. So Berger's counting stats weren't necessarily something we could count on. And he had a slow start to the season. He got demoted to AAA in early May and came back and looked good for a relatively decent amount of time in that Rangers lineup. But he'll hit the IL. He'll miss some time. Fantasy managers might be scrambling to pick up somebody at that corner infield spot. No notable call-ups this week as far as bats go. Don't get me wrong, Chase Burns, superstar, coming up for Cincinnati, but he's a pitcher, and we'll leave those to Nick Pollock and the gang. Talk about pitchers and prospects and things like that. We specialize in hitting here. Speaking of hitting, a couple of guys got sent down that may be surprising to some fantasy managers. Boston infielder Christian Campbell, the rookie second baseman who broke camp with the Red Sox, looked great for a few weeks, and then really had a slow May and has kind of stumbled in June. He's been sent down to AAA to work on things, with the other prospects that the Red Sox have in Roman Anthony and Marcelo Mayer, maybe giving those guys a chance, giving Romy Gonzalez and Abraham Toro, letting them hold down the right side of that infield for the foreseeable future. But Campbell will be working on first base defensive drills, according to Red Sox media, while he's down in AAA. So we could see him shift over to first base for the latter part of the season, maybe after the All-Star break. Once he works on some things, hopefully turns things around. His batting average has dipped quite a bit. Let me just pull up that Christian Campbell pitcher list player page. His average has dipped all the way to .223 this year. And it's just to the point where it's really not rosterable for fantasy managers. And unless, you're in a dynasty or keeper league, I don't think Campbell's really worth the stash. I know second base is a shallow position. I know he has some positional flexibility with his outfield eligibility as well as second base and middle infield. But really, just looking at the numbers, Christian Campbell kind of looks like he's below replacement level, both at second base and in the outfield. So fantasy managers should be able to find a better alternative at both positions. Also being sent down to AAA in what some might consider a little bit of a surprise move, New York Mets catcher Francisco Alvarez was sent down to AAA Syracuse. And really, his numbers have not been good. At 133 plate appearances, he's batting just .229 with a 27.8 strikeout percentage. Not really doing what fantasy managers were hoping from a streaming catcher. Now, luckily for most fantasy managers, he was on the injured list for quite a while, which means he probably wasn't on too many rosters. So he may be below replacement level. Of course, he's definitely below replacement level now that he's in the minors. But he may have been somebody that fantasy managers might have dodged this bullet because he was injured so long before this, and now the performance just isn't where fantasy managers want it to be. He's headed down. Of course, it's not where the Mets want it to be either, so he's headed down to Syracuse to work on some things, and New York will turn to Luis Torrens behind the plate, and we'll see who else they picked up as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with some hitter list notes from Scott's most recent update, and we'll see you after this break. Welcome back to Hacks and Jacks. I'm your host, Brett Ford, at Fade That Man on social media. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me in the Pitcherlist Discord. And, of course, I'm writing Fab Insights every Sunday on Pitcherlist. Make sure to check that out. That'll publish at 11:30 on Sunday mornings before your Fab runs on Sunday night for NFBC leagues. But we're talking about bats here on Hacks and Jacks, and we'll go right into Scott's most recently updated 150 hitters list, and every week Scott will update the top 150 hitters list like clockwork, either on Wednesday evening or Thursday morning. It's updated, and this week it's a shame about the timing, because I feel like Cal Raleigh would be a lot higher if Scott had waited through the weekend at Wrigley to publish this, because Raleigh was outstanding this weekend. Now, Raleigh in Wrigley went 6 for 12 across three games with 4 home runs. Now, granted, he had the wind at his back for part of the series, but let's not take away what he's done. Raleigh's been absolutely incredible so far this season. He has 31 home runs, and that's before the All-Star break. He's got the most home runs by a catcher ever before the All-Star break, passing Johnny Bench over the weekend, and that mark was from like 1970. So, it's ridiculous what Cal Raleigh is doing. It's absolutely ridiculous that he's doing it from the catcher position. And he just continues his meteoric rise, which is why we've dubbed this the Summer of Cal. It's the first time we've had a Summer of Cal since probably, I don't know, Ripken, way back in the early aughts. So, Cal Raleigh, it is your summer. We're just living in it, buddy. Keep doing what you're doing. We move on to another catcher, and that's Sal Perez, Kansas City Royals catcher Sal Perez. He moves up in Scott's rankings. He's in Tier 6, number 47 overall, up 12 spots this week. Let's take a look at what Sal Perez is doing. So Perez, I mean, looking at all his numbers, everything looks normal. The only problem is he's batting .237 and he's not lifting the ball or hitting home runs the way that we're used to seeing. You know, if you look at his stat page from, you know, last year compared to this year, last year he hit 27 home runs in 650 plate appearances. This year through 296 plate appearances, he only has 8. The fly ball or home run to fly ball rate is down from about 20%. You know, his career rate 17.6. It's down this year to 13.8. So he's hitting the ball in the air a lot, and it's not leaving the ballpark. His BABIP is down to a career low 280. I take that back. It's not a career low. It's his lowest since 2018. So really, since Perez has been, you know, the caliber hitter that we're used to, we haven't seen a BABIP this low in a long time. So it seems like he's just, you know, hitting the ball in the air and it's just not leaving the ballpark. So I don't know if that's just his power not being there at, gosh, how old is he now? 35, you know, with all those miles, as we say, on the tires from catching so many games. But, you know, the hard contact rate is still there, 33.6%. You know, he can still swing the bat. He can still rake. He's just not hitting it hard enough to leave the park right now. And maybe as it heats up in this summer, he'll be able to do more of that. But until he can really start hitting for power, he's kind of replacement level right now, especially with that .237 batting average. I really don't want to touch it. And I think I can do better at catcher. But Scott has him coming up 12 spots this week. He hit a couple home runs, and he really, you know, like I said, with the hot weather, could turn it around, could get the ball flying out of the ballpark. So keep an eye on Sal Perez and what he's able to do, and maybe we'll see him climb back up to probably, you know, he'd probably top out around the low 30s as far as his ceiling for the year. But shoot, if he can continue, you know, hitting home runs and bring that total up from 8 to a little bit more, we should be in good shape. Moving on to Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder Andy Pages. Let's see what Pages has been up to recently. I know he's been hitting the ball well for the Dodgers. He's got 15 home runs this year, batting .290. And all the metrics are looking really solid for Pages. You know, he's even stolen 6 bases. His zone contact rate up 89.8%. That's up a massive upgrade, more than 10% up from last year's 80.5 rate. The strikeouts are down. He's down from 24.4% to 17.9%. The home run to fly ball is up. The BABIP is the same, right around 300. You know, Pages just continues to do good things in the Los Angeles Dodgers outfield, and we're going to continue to roster him. I mean, he's kind of found money for fantasy managers who scooped him off the waiver wire. I don't think he was that popular during draft season, mostly because of playing time questions, right? Like, we weren't sure how the Dodgers outfield was going to shake out with the signing of Conforto and, you know, all the other factors that played into that. But Pages has really emerged. He's looking like he could be a star. Kyle McCarthy of Pitcher List wrote a really nice deep dive on Andy Pages called Turning the Page, Andy Pages Looks Like a Star. So I highly recommend you read that. It talks about Pages' big step forward, and he's up in the ranks this week as well. Our next riser on the list this week is Brandon Nimmo, the Mets outfielder. Nimmo located in tier 9 this week, ranked number 72, up a massive 37 positions. Scott really likes what he's seeing out of Nimmo now that he's back into the swing of things. 13 home runs for Nimmo, 6 stolen bases. Pretty good total so far through 292 plate appearances. He's batting .242. Now, granted, that's up from last season's .224 batting average, but it still stands that it could improve. He batted .274 for consecutive seasons in 2022-23, topped out in 2021 at .293. So we could see the batting average go up and continue to improve as the season goes on. The K rate is down nearly 4% from last year to 19.5%. The home run to fly ball is staying relatively consistent, right at 26.5%. Barrel rate is up a little bit from last year. So really like the things we're seeing from Brandon Nimmo. And as long as he can stay in the top third of that Mets lineup, hitting in front of, you know, guys or around guys like Soto and Alonso, you know, it really should, you know, it's a top heavy lineup for the Mets. It really should impact his fantasy value if he can hit in that top half rather than, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, where things get a little less, I don't know, a little more thin for the Mets in the bottom half of that lineup. So if Nimmo can stay in the top half, his value skyrockets, which I think is what Scott's looking at this week. We move on to second base, and it's a guy we've talked about quite a bit. It's Marcus Semien. He's down in tier 12, ranked 107 this week, up 23 spots, and he continues to climb this June. Since June 1st, Marcus Semien, in 67 plate appearances across 16 games, he's got 20 hits, 11 runs scored, 10 RBI, 3 home runs, and 2 stolen bases, batting .339 during that stretch for the month of June. Struck out just 8 times. He's got a zone contact percentage of 91.4. He's only swinging and missing 6.8% of the time. You know, Semien is finally maybe getting back to the guy that we thought he was. You know, he's now up to 7 home runs and 6 stolen bases this year. His batting average has boosted up to .226, so he's, you know, finally above the Mendoza line after, you know, 3 weeks of batting .339. That's how bad it was at the beginning of the year. So we're finally seeing Semien crawl out of the hole and start producing for fantasy managers. So good for you for holding on to Semien, or, you know, better for you if you scooped him after the manager that drafted him cut him. So Marcus Semien on the rise. We move on to shortstop tier 13, ranked 124th this week, up 22 spots. It's Willy Adames from San Francisco. And with the addition to Devers to that lineup, I think he could continue to rise. I think it could help, you know, with some extra lineup protection to really kind of shake him from his slump, maybe give him some better pitches to see. Adames out there in the Bay Area playing shortstop for the Giants this year. You know, last week the Giants went to Coors. Adames took full advantage. You know, he hit 2 home runs in 3 games against the Rockies. But that's what you got to do to snap out of your slump sometimes. You know, he's got 3 home runs in his past 9 games, and that brings the season total up to 8 this season. We're looking at, you know, a 10% barrel rate. It's a little lower than it has been for the past 3 or 4 seasons. The strikeout rate is a little bit higher than it has been, but really most of the marks that we're looking at, except for home run to fly ball, are pretty consistent to what he's been throughout his career. So, you know, the BABIP's a little bit low. He was at .297 last year. He's only at .254 this year. So hopefully we see Adames continue to climb, continue to get better pitches to hit, and maybe feel a little bit of the pressure come off his shoulders as Rafael Devers becomes kind of the big man on campus, if you will, for the Giants in the coming weeks. That's a wrap on risers for this week in Scott's Top 150 Hitters list. Make sure to check it out on pitcherlist.com. You can always find Scott's work, and you can also find him on social media at If the Chew, C-H-U, Fits. Scott's also very active in the PitcherList Discord. He's always answering questions. He's also active on Reddit, so make sure you check out his AMAs on Reddit and follow everything he does, because he's extremely, extremely well-versed in hitters, does a great job of providing excellent information. And, you know, PitcherList community should really take advantage of that. I know I have this season. It's worked out pretty well for me. So we'll take a quick break. We'll get back with the fallers in Scott's top 150 hitters list after this. We're back with Hacks and Jacks. I'm Brett Ford. You can find me at Fade That Man on social media. We're diving into Scott's top 150 hitters list. We're talking fallers, guys who have dropped in the rankings this week. And we'll start in Tier 5, and that's going to bring us to Los Angeles Dodgers second baseman, shortstop, outfielder, wherever he feels like playing or wherever Dave Roberts feels like playing, and Mookie Betts. Betts, Tier 5, number 32, so still a very, very elite hitter, but down 10 spots this week. And I think Scott's biggest concerns are with the batted ball quality. You look at, you know, Betts's, what he's got going on in 2025, the batting average is down almost 30 points. The BABIP is down 40 points. And really just the batted ball quality isn't what we're used to. Zone contact rate still at 95%. It's elite. Strikeout rate still 9.5%. It's a career low. Like, that's his career best. He's just not barreling the ball in the way that we want him to. He's only got 9 home runs through 300 plate appearances. So really, he might never get back to that 35-40 home run pace that we saw in 2022-23 that fantasy managers might be hoping for some sort of rebound. I just don't see it. The home run to fly ball is down from, you know, 26.2% in 2023 to 11.5% this year. So I don't think we'll ever see the power come back for Mookie Betts, but he's still a great hitter. He still should hover around 280, even though he's down in the 250s this year. I think that turns around a little bit, but you know, you're looking at more of a singles doubles hitter than a home run hitter anymore at this point in his career. So Betts drops 10 spots, still a tier 5, still an elite outfielder, but temper your expectations specifically in the power categories. And probably the speed categories, too. He's only stolen 6 bases and 300 plate appearances. Next up on our fallers, New York Yankees first baseman Paul Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt down to Tier 9, 71st overall, down 26 spots this week. Wow, that's a steep drop from Scott here. And I think the main concern is really the playing time or the plate appearances, especially in regards to the batting order. Goldschmidt may become a casualty of the return of Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton has taken over as more or less the everyday DH for the Yankees. He's played in 4 of the past 6 games for the Yankees, all of them at DH, of course, batting 4th or 5th in the lineup. And Goldschmidt has gone from playing nearly every day to missing each of the past 2 games against right-handed pitchers. You know, Goldschmidt, 37 years old. I'm not sure if the Yankees see a future for him. They started Ben Rice each of the past 2 games at first base. And if Rice continues to hit the ball well, he's going to take over that position, or at least the strong side of that platoon. So there's major concern here that Goldschmidt could end up being a short side platoon bat. And, you know, obviously that would curtail what's been a decent season for the veteran first baseman, but major concerns with playing time, with the logjam at the corner infield spots for the Yankees. We'll see what happens. Maybe they continue to convert Rice into a catcher. Maybe they get rid of Giancarlo Stanton and decide that the elbows are, or maybe he just breaks down. I don't know. You know, Stanton has been around for like a week and a half now. He's due for another stint on the injured list at this point. So you never know. Maybe Goldschmidt gets catapulted back up the rankings with more playing time. But for right now, temper your expectations because the plate appearances might be harder to come by in the next couple of weeks. Next up is Detroit Tigers outfielder Kerry Carpenter. Carpenter, Tier 11, 98th overall this week, down 24 spots. And I know this is a sore spot for Scott because, you know, he loves his Tigers. He loves his Kerry Carpenter. But really, he's become a platoon bat. And that's not what, you know, most had hoped for. But the Tigers are running him out there against right-handed pitching only. And that's been a trend over the past couple of weeks. And unfortunately for Carpenter, he's not really performing. He's struggled in the past, let's see, 4 starts. He only has 1 hit in, you know, 16 plate appearances. So really struggling and just trying to find his footing again. It's one of those prolonged slumps that you look at over the course of the season. It kind of disappears. assuming that the production comes back, but he's mired in a prolonged slump right now. We're just kind of waiting for him to snap out of it. So if you can stash him on your bench, he's still, you know, a top 100 bat according to Scott's list here, but he's just barely hanging on there. So if you can find an alternative outfielder in, you know, in three outfielder leagues, he's a bench, absolutely a bench. In five outfielder leagues, you have to try to find an alternative while he's going through this slump. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck with, you know, just terrible at-bats, unfortunately, until he turns things around. And he's not playing against lefties, so you lose a game, maybe two games every week. So just be patient with Kerry Carpenter, but find an alternative while he's going through this rut. We move on to our next faller in Tier 12 is Texas Rangers third baseman Josh Jung. He's ranked 123rd this week, down 23 spots, falling out of the top 100. Let's take a look at Josh Jung. Well, Jung batting third or in the lower third of that Texas Rangers order for most of his at-bats recently. And frankly, he hasn't been that great. You know, as excited as we were to see Jung succeed early in the season, you know, through 250 plate appearances, he only has 7 home runs. So really, he's on the pace for about 15. He's got a 250 batting average, 310 BABIP, which was okay. We'd like to see the barrel rate go up from 8%. We'd like to see the zone contact rate continue to rise. It's up to 82.4%, which is better than it has been. The strikeouts are down. It's just that the home run to fly ball is down at a career low. He's been a guy who's been at least hovering around 20%. He's all the way down to 17%, and it's really curtailed him. If he can't generate those power stats, it kind of shuts down most of his fantasy value. So Josh Jung slipping in the rankings. We'll see if he can turn it around. But for right now, he's pretty much a replacement level third baseman. And we move on to our next faller, and it's down in Tier 13, ranked 135th, down 34 spots this week. And I think we've talked about this before, but it's St. Louis outfielder Lars Nootbaar. Nootbaar started the season as kind of the incumbent leadoff man. Everybody kind of expected him to bat leadoff and kind of projected his fantasy value from that. But now we're seeing him bat, you know, in the lower third of the St. Louis Cardinals batting order, and it's just not, and he's struggling as well. You know, it's curtailing his fantasy value because of his lineup spot, and he's struggling. So it's kind of a double whammy there for Nootbaar, who really hasn't done what fantasy managers have wanted all season long. I mean, you know, 9 home runs through 324 plate appearances is fine, but a 225 batting average, you know, a 266 BABIP, it's just not looking good for Nootbaar. The walks are still there. He's still got an elite 13% walk rate, a pretty good 21.6 strikeout rate, but really when it comes down to it, the contact is not good enough. You know, he's not getting base hits. He's not hitting the ball for hits. It's just the 225 batting average just absolutely destroys you as a fantasy manager. And now he's getting, you know, 3/4 of the projected at-bats or 3/4 of the projected plate appearances, batting 7th or 8th in that order instead of 1st. It really, really sinks his value, and that's why Scott has dropped him so drastically in the rankings this week from number 101 to number 135. Is a massive drop-off, and wouldn't be surprised to see him leave the list next week. And really, as an outfielder, especially in three outfield leagues, he's a drop. You can find a better outfielder. You can find a hotter bat. You can find, you know, a bat that's higher in the batting order. It's so easy to replace in a three outfield league. Now, five outfielder leagues, you know, tread a little bit more carefully. I still think you can do better. You know, can't come up with guys off the top of my head right now, but there are definitely guys out there in, you know, different outfields in five, you know, 12 team, five outfielder leagues available who can help your team more than Nootbaar is right now, for sure. So looking through Scott's taxi squad, now that we've gotten through the fallers, there's a handful of guys that maybe we want to touch on, but one that's in the rankings, actually, not in the taxi squad, but is in the rankings, is Colorado Rockies first baseman Michael Toglia. Toglia was sent down to AAA, brought back up last week, and is swinging a hot bat right now. You know, the decision-making and contact skills are still questionable, but, you know, when he's playing four of his next six series in Coors Field, he's a guy who can produce, and I could totally see him getting hot throughout the summer and kind of being like a Jake Berger guy where he has just a miserable start to the season, they send him down, he comes back and starts cranking homers out of the ballpark. So Toglia is a target for me personally in several different leagues, so I'm gonna be high on him. Hopefully he can keep up the hot streak and climb Scott's rankings even more. A couple other guys in the taxi squad that are at least interesting. I think New York Mets second baseman Ronnie Mauricio is very interesting. He strikes out a lot, but you know, he's one of those guys that could be, you know, could finish the season as a 15-15 home run stolen base guy. Now, granted, he might hit 225, 230, but he's exciting to watch. He's got power, he's got speed, and he's got second base eligibility, which is huge because that position has just been abysmal so far this season. So he's somebody that I'm interested in and might give a shot to try to stream here and pick up some good production while he's hot. Another guy who is interesting at the very least, Chandler Simpson. He's still down in AAA, but I mean, he's the best rabbit in the game right now. When he gets on base, he's running. Everybody knows he's running. He's still going to run, and he's still going to steal second base. So as soon as he's called back up to the major leagues, I'm going to be interested. I'm going to be bidding. I'm going to be, you know, putting in my waiver claims for Chandler Simpson of the Tampa Bay Rays to try to get that speed on my team. Because there are so many teams, you know, when you draft for power and you kind of ignore stolen bases and you try to pick up these stolen bases midseason, he's the kind of guy that you absolutely need, and that was my situation in several different leagues. So Chandler Simpson on my short list. Well, that'll do it for this week of Hacks and Jacks. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Brett Ford. You can find me at Fade That Man on social media. I also write the Sunday Fab Insights column for Pitcher List. Hit me up on Twitter if you have any questions, or you know, give me a shout in the Pitcher List Discord. Look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Later.